It was probably several years ago. I was riding in the car with one of my sons. We were listening to the radio, 98.7, one of our local country music stations. And the DJ introduced a section of the morning show where callers called in with some of their relationship issues, and they would talk about it and give them some advice online. And I can remember this particular caller called in with some pretty hard and difficult questions. And I still remember it. My son was rather young at the time, and he kind of looked at me and he said, "Hey, Dad, why are they calling a radio station to get help in their relationships? Like, why are they asking the DJ for help?" You know, and I was like, "Hey, you're on the right path here, son. Right? Listen, there's not a man or woman in this room or in our city or on this earth that isn't seeking answers or solutions for difficult problems and challenges in their life, right? The self-help industry is a billion with a B dollar industry. You could spend hours scrolling through Reels and TikToks and getting all kinds of financial and relational and fitness advice, right? You could just get into that death scroll and just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Let me ask you, is that what you think you really need? Is what you really need in life just some advice? Like, if I could just get the right advice or the right information, then it would be all good. I'd be set. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs this summer. We're starting a new series. I love Proverbs because it is an earthy, practical book that speaks into every nook and cranny of our life. But we're going to see that Proverbs gives us more than good advice. It gives us godly wisdom. And I want us to see this morning that there is a difference. So pray with me, and we're going to jump into these first seven verses of the book of Proverbs. Let's pray. Mighty and merciful Father, by your Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. Help us to see and know your wisdom, for we desperately need it. Help us to see and know Jesus, for we desperately need him. We pray all this in his name. Amen. So the book of Proverbs, a little context, we see it there in verse 1, all right? We're in the Old Testament. These are teachings collected or created by King Solomon, king of Israel, son of King David. And I wonder, when some of us think of the book of Proverbs, we think of just that these are kind of a random collection of isolated proverbs. Like, just threw them all in the bucket. These are just a bunch of short, pithy statements teaching us truths. My biological dad had some statements like this, these kinds of statements. I didn't really grow up around him, but when I was around him, I can remember that he would say some things like this. He'd say, "Son, looking good has no quitting time." No idea what that meant, right? I could tell he was trying to teach me something. I don't know what it was. But it was this statement that he had that he was wanting me to somehow learn from. Now, Proverbs has statements like this. They are much more helpful than that statement, but they are short, pithy statements intended for instruction. They're intended to teach us, but they're not just kind of all thrown together. If we just think of them as just all thrown together, we kind of treat the book of Proverbs like Christian fortune cookies, right? Like, I'm going to crack it open, I'm going to get me a proverb, I'm going to close it up, and then that's mine for the day. But if we approach the book of Proverbs that way, we basically ignore the first nine chapters of the book that help us see that these statements of truth are set in a relational context. All right, these statements come in the context of a relationship with God. We even see it in verse 7, and we'll get there. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so we're going to have to see, as we make our way through Proverbs, that we can't ignore this relational context. A couple more things. Teenagers, young adults, I know it's the summer and you're like, "Hey, I don't have to learn this summer," all right? Hey, during this sermon series, let's lean in and learn, all right? It's the summer swim season. Tomorrow night, some of you might not know this, but it is the epic battle of Mosby Woods and Mantua in the swimming pool, all right? It's like the smackdown in the suburbs. You're all welcome to come. It's the summer, guys, but lean in and learn, because Proverbs, you even see it there in verse 4. Proverbs is a book where God speaks specifically to young people, young adults, and you're going to want to get wisdom early because it has this compounding effect. And so does foolishness. So young people, during these Proverbs, children, middle schoolers, let's lean in and listen during this sermon series. But frankly, all of us need wisdom. As we go through the summer, we are actually going to look at different topics. We're going to look at what Proverbs teaches about friendship and wealth and sexuality and speaking the truth. But today we're going to look at wisdom as a whole. We're going to try to get our heads and heart around, what does wisdom look like? What is wisdom for? So if you want a roadmap for this morning, we're going to look at three aspects of wisdom: the purpose of wisdom, the poetry of wisdom, and the pursuit of wisdom. All right, the purpose, the poetry, and the pursuit. The purpose, straight out the gate, we see that Solomon says he wants us to know wisdom, and then he double clicks and he gives us some synonyms. Well, something that wisdom has to do with, he starts out, I'm just going to go through a few words here for you. Wisdom helps us to understand words of insight. You see that word there, insight? In the Hebrew, insight talks about those who have the ability to see small differences, fine distinctions. Or if you have insight in the Hebrew, it means you have those kinds of abilities. That is, maybe you're there in your government contracting job, or maybe you're facing a situation in the halls of Fairfax High School, and you come up on this situation, and as near as you can tell, you only have two options. Like, you're like, I can either do this or this. Well, someone with insight comes along, and they help you think, actually, no, I see there's maybe nine options here. You have more options than you see. There's wisdom there in being able to see in greater clarity and detail what's in front of you. If you look at verses 2, 3, and 4, you'll also see there's this word prudence there. Solomon says that connected to wisdom, there's this idea of prudence. That means practical and strategic. That means wisdom has something to do with more than just thinking or speaking. It is a doing, right? Those who are wise actually get stuff done. They're actually able to take what they know and what they understand and apply it and make things happen in their life. That's something of wisdom. Insight and prudence. Last word to kind of unpack for you here, instruction. All right, now when you read instruction, don't think superficially of instructions like, hey, these are the instructions for how to set up my cell phone, right? No, these instructions here have to do with shaping who we are, shaping our character. That is counsel, wisdom, directions to form us. Really, to sum all this up, wisdom is what we need to live life skillfully. I came across this quote from an Old Testament scholar, and I think it's really helpful. Wisdom, according to the Bible, is competence with regard to the realities of life. Competence with regard to how life really works. There's an image that comes from woodworking that might be helpful. Maybe some of you guys like to work with wood. Bob Hooks is one of our deacons. He's not here this morning. He lives in my neighborhood, but he's got a really impressive woodworking shop. And Bob would tell you this: wood has a natural grain to it, all right? When you work with wood, you're going to want to work according to that grain. If you work against the grain, you're going to jack things up, all right? If you work against the grain, it's going to splinter. It's going to crack. You're not going to be able to get a smooth finish if you work against the grain. Proverbs, wisdom, helps us to live life with the grain of the world that God has created it in the way that he has created it. That's what wisdom's for. That's wisdom's purpose. To be able, you know, you see it on the front of our worship guide, right? A life well lived. That's what we're going to look at in this study of Proverbs. Maybe for our context, a few things to think about. We need to see that wisdom is more than education. All right, wisdom is more than, listen, we live in one of the most educated places on the face of the earth. more terminal degrees in our zip codes probably than anywhere else in the world. Wisdom involves education. It involves learning and knowledge. But that's not enough. I mean, just think about it. How many people do you know that have terminal degrees? Maybe they got straight A's. They've got book smarts. But they have absolutely torpedoed their life because of some foolish decisions they've made. I've had this conversation many times. Hey, it's good to get to know you, man. Yeah, you are brilliant. Yeah, you design a motor that has 18,000 revolutions per minute, and it is smaller than a strand of hair. Try to wrap your head around that. You got to be really smart to design something like that. But your life is a wreck because you can't figure out how to deal with a conflict with your roommates. Or your life is a wreck because you can't figure out how to talk to your spouse about money. So we need more than education to understand what wisdom is. One more thing before we move on to the next point related to wisdom's purpose. Wisdom helps us live skillfully when we make all those decisions. Austin talked about how many decisions do we make a day as adults, approximately? 35,000? Wow, okay. All the decisions we make, wisdom helps us live skillfully there because in a lot of those decisions, the moral rule or the moral teaching there is not enough. It's not going to be the deciding factor. Here's what I mean by that. You've got to make a decision on what job to take. Both jobs are perfectly moral, but you could choose one job and it would be a foolish decision and it might wreck your life. Students, when you're making decisions about what college to go to or what to major in, those aren't moral decisions. But you definitely need wisdom to make those decisions rightly. Choosing friends. A lot of times it doesn't come down to moral decisions. Proverbs, wisdom helps you make decisions and probably 80% of your decisions where it's not morally wrong or right, but there is a foolish decision will wreck you. And a wise decision will lead to flourishing. The purpose of wisdom is to help you live skillfully in those situations. Let's talk a second about the poetry of wisdom. Purpose of wisdom, poetry of wisdom. This is a quick but important point. Hey, if we're going to spend the summer in Proverbs, that means we're going to spend it in poetry. All right, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but what if I ask, who read a poem this week? I'm guessing a lot of you didn't read a poem. Some of you raised hands anyway. Well, good on you. Well done. D.C., again, our context. We're not like a poetry city, all right? L.A., maybe a poetry city. New York, maybe a poetry city. Here, we got policies and contracts, bills. Like, that's not poetic stuff. If we're going to be in Proverbs, we're going to have to understand something about poetry. You can understand something of it just by looking at the page or looking at the screen when you're looking at the Bible. There's a lot more white space. All right, compare 1 Corinthians 15, where we were in a few weeks ago, and look at Proverbs. There's a lot more white space, right? It's because it's poetry. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's using prose, paragraph after paragraph, to unfold these theological truths. In Proverbs, it's dense, terse language. One way to think about it is Proverbs is the hard candy of the Bible. All right, like you have to let it linger. You have to spend some time in it. I like a band called The Counting Crows, and they have an album called Hard Candy for that very purpose. Their songs, the themes of that album are meant to be lingered on and thought about. So if you don't slow down, you're not going to do very well at making your way through Proverbs this summer. If we don't slow down, and in a world of high-speed internet, and instant cable news networks and ever updating social media feeds, Proverbs is good for us. The poetry of Proverbs is good for us to stop and slow down and think about what's really being said here. All right, purpose, poetry. Let's finish up here with the pursuit of wisdom. A few things to be clear about. this morning. You are not born with the wisdom that you need. All right? You're not born with the wisdom that you need. Another truth, you are not going to accidentally stumble into the wisdom that you need for life. Just look at some of the words used here in these opening verses of Proverbs. Verse 2, wisdom. Solomon is writing for the attaining of wisdom and discipline. Verse 3, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Verse 5, for the wise to add to their learning. This is pursuit language. You have to go after it. We're called to be about the business of trying to find wisdom. Let's talk about this pursuit as to where it starts and our hope in it. All right, where it starts, verse 7. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Back to this relational context. If we're going to know the fear of God, if we're going to know the fear of the Lord, we need to know this. When it's speaking of it here, it's not talking about a negative fear. It's not a terror fear, as if I'm going to run and hide from God. It's a fear that rightly acknowledges who He is, His holy majesty and power. And then realizes who we are in light of that. We are those who are in desperate need of wisdom and insight from Him. That's the assumption of wisdom when it comes to Proverbs, when it comes to biblical wisdom. It's we understand who God is and who we are, and we need wisdom from Him. We don't presume to trust in ourselves. We're going to trust in God. Here's the problem. Here's the problem for you and for me. We see it in Genesis chapter 3. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they decided not to trust and not to fear God, but they went their own way. They had received God's teaching and instruction, the counsel for their life, and they said, you know what, God? I think I've got a better plan. I don't quite trust you. I'm going to go my own way. And from that point on, every one of our default settings has been set to that orientation. Where our inclination, where more often than not, apart from the work of God, we go our own way instead of going and pursuing God and His wisdom. Solomon says, unless you deal with this, unless you begin and remain in this healthy understanding of who God is, you're never really going to get or understand wisdom. We can't treat life like this, and some of us do. Oh, well, there's the practical stuff over here. There's dating and friends and work and relationships, and then there's God stuff over here and Sunday and Bible study. Solomon says, no, unless you connect the dots between all of those things all of the time, you're not going to have the wisdom that you need to live the life that you're called and designed to live. I said we would talk a little bit about Solomon. If you don't know his story, you can check it out in 1 Kings. There it tells us that Solomon was made king, and God gave him a blank check of sorts. He said, hey, what do you need? Ask me what you need, and it's yours. A blank check from God. You drive out of here this afternoon, you get a blank check from God. What are you asking for? Does wisdom make the top three? Does it make the top five? For Solomon, again, understanding the fear of the Lord, understanding what God had called him to and what he needed, he asked for wisdom, and God gives it to him. That points us to some of our hope for the pursuit of wisdom. All right, we'll finish with this. Our hope for the pursuit of wisdom. God is a God that is generous with giving wisdom. Here's the good news this morning, Christians. We don't have to call into radio stations and ask Bobby Bones what we should do about our life, right? Like, I'm sure he's a great guy. But I'm also sure that he did not create, nor does he sustain all things with his power. We worship a God that liberally gives wisdom to those who ask it. Look at Solomon. Look at the book of James, where it says, hey, if you need wisdom, just ask God and He'll give it to you liberally. Look here at the book of Proverbs. Let's be those that ask for wisdom. But then I could ask another question of us. We could have a little bit of real talk. How many times this past week did you ask God for wisdom? Like, if we know His word, we know He promises again and again to give us His wisdom. How many times this past week did you ask God for wisdom? I've got to confess, unfortunately, I didn't do it very much. Why? Because I trust too much in myself, which could not be more delusional, and I think too little of God and his wisdom. So join me in this next week, and let's ask God more and more for his wisdom. And I need to say this, and I don't really know where it fits, but we're talking about hope, so I'm gonna say it here. We don't hope in specific proverbs as if there's some kind of like precise and exact magical formula for how to live life. And here's what I mean by that. Many of us would know this one, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Like, that's great wisdom. Parents, you should be training your children up, like, intentionally. Have a plan, discipling them. That's great wisdom. But many of us know there are parents who have trained up their children as good as any parent can in this fallen world, and yet their child did indeed depart from that way. Like, we just know that. When we look at the world around us, right? We read Proverbs like Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Again, good wisdom. More often than not, diligence leads to abundance and haste leads to poverty, but we can all think of exceptions. All right, we can't trust in like these specific proverbs as if they're magical, and if we just do them, it's going to always work out. That's how you would misuse proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom literature. Yes, guess what? You know what else is wisdom literature? The book of Job and the book of Ecclesiastes. And those books teach us that sometimes you can do all the right things, and you can check all the right boxes, and still life goes off the rails. We do not ultimately trust in our ability to acquire and apply wisdom. Here's how the prophet Jeremiah says it. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. So friends, please pursue wisdom for the treasure that it is and with all that you have. But know that your ultimate hope rests in the reality that wisdom pursued you. That's where our hope lies. Paul, when he's talking about Jesus in Colossians chapter 2, right, says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's Jesus who is the true and greater wise one that came and lived the life we should have lived. He made every decision as a wise decision, never once choosing the foolish route. And he took the punishment that we deserved for all the foolishness things we have said and done. That's where our hope ultimately lies, in the true and greater wise one. So God in his grace has given us his son. And God in his grace has given us his wisdom in his word to navigate skillfully this world. So let's run to him. Maybe this morning for salvation, saying, hey, I've lived foolishly. I need the wise one to save me. Maybe it's just realizing for this week ahead, hey, God's given me wisdom by his grace over the years, but I still need more for the week ahead. That's what we're after this summer, God's wisdom. So let me pray for us and ask him to give it to us. Pray with me. Father, would you teach each one of us here this morning what it means to fear you? Not a fear that drives us away, but a fear that draws us closer in awe, in adoration, in humility. We all need wisdom. We all have made foolish decisions. We need your forgiveness, and we need the spirit of the true and greater wise one that you've promised to give us to lead us and guide us and direct us. that we might live skillful, well-lived lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.